Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Keep your passion for Christ growing, keep your eye on your mission, and keep your relationships right as much as is humanly possible.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the Scripture says about God's sufficient grace. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 2012. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, the grace of God is sufficient.
Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to talk about a portion of the life of Paul. One of the most difficult things I think Paul had to do, his heart is born in 2 Corinthians, where he is defending his own apostleship. But to me, there is a core that gives the idea of what Paul picked up in that time alone when he was being mentored, and the time he spoke of in 2 Corinthians 12. When the disciples were chosen, they had 3 years alone with him being mentored with Christ. When Paul got saved, he had 3 years one-on-one with Christ. Paul could not have gone to Jerusalem for mentoring after his salvation, because going to the Gentile world, he could not take the Judaizer mentality with him. And so he had that one-on-one time with the Lord, and then another 7+ years before he was called to the church in Antioch, where he was on the staff there to begin the first mission journey. But we find Paul describing a time in his life when he was caught up into the Lord's presence. He was not permitted to speak what he had heard and what he had seen. And yet he had great reason to glory, but he chose to glory in his infirmities. And you know, when we look at our lives today, we choose to glory in things, but most will not glory in their infirmity. They do not glory in their weakness. They do not glory in that which makes them feel totally incapable. But Paul gloried in that. So let's look in verse 2 of chapter 12. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. When this happened is not sure. I have always had a suspicion that it was when he was stoned and left for dead in Lystra, and God raised him from that time. It could have been other times. It could have been when Paul was alone. But whenever it was, he said, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seems me to be, or that he hears of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. So Paul is saying, what he had seen, what he had heard, would be great cause for boasting. But yet he said, I have chosen to boast in my infirmities. And then he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through what God had revealed to me, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. And that thorn probably was the resistance of those who were evil in the kingdoms of darkness. There is, I think, a physical thorn, and I think there is a spiritual thorn. But I think the spiritual thorn that was allowed by God. It was of Satan, but it was allowed by God. We saw that same thing in Job. And whatever that thorn was, he said it was a messenger of Satan. So we do know that it was from Satan, but God allowed him to have that in his life. And the buffeting there literally means to punch with a closed fist. And Paul was saying he had gone into a time of his life when he begged God three times. We see Jesus in the garden praying three times passionately if the cup could pass from him. But yet we see him, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then we find Paul pleading three times. And I don't think it was just a little thing he added to the supper meal prayer. I think he set times aside for praying and fasting, believing fully that if God would take this from him, he would be much more free to do ministry. And then verse 9, which is my text, and he said unto me, or literally, as I told you before, Paul, now I tell you again, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so we find here God's grace is sufficient. No matter what you are facing, the grace of God is sufficient for you. And I believe one lesson that you will learn throughout life, one of the things that has to be so crucial for you, is anything that God brings into your life that makes you dependent is good for you. Anything that allows you to be independent is not good for you, because our nature is to be independent. And Paul, because of what he had, because of the drive he had, I personally think he was being prepared to be the next high priest. He had all of the bloodline, he had all of the pedigree, he had everything that it took. So much had to be taken out of Paul before he could be usable for the glory of God. And yet this resistance that God allowed Satan to put into the life of Paul made Paul realize, I cannot, but he must. You might face a trial that you never saw coming. You might get blindsided by something you did not see coming. Maybe some failure, maybe some pressure. And yet you'll realize that that very thing is making you dependent on him. So there are three key words I'm going to focus on today. One is grace, one is glory, and the other is a goal. And Paul takes this. He said, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in spite of our inadequacies. 1 Corinthians 15, we see Paul speaking, and he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace that was given to me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any one of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul was saying, what I am by the grace of God. And that grace at work in me was not in vain. It was not an empty work. And he said, but rather, I worked harder than any one of them, though not I, but the grace of God that was with me. I like 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, where Paul prays, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me for that economy faithful, putting me into the ministry. I like the way John MacArthur laid this out. MacArthur said, God revealed enabling grace, who has enabled me. Entrusting grace, he counted me faithful. Employing grace, he put me into the ministry. But it is all a work of God's grace. And so as you look, perhaps going to the mission field or going into the pastorate or going on to seminary, going on to work at a summer camp, going on to do something that would be the contrary to the flesh, where you feel like you cannot do that, you find that Paul lifting his heart, thanking God for enabling him, for trusting him, and for putting him into a ministry. Now, the second word I want to look at is glory. Interesting that Paul took pleasure in this idea of this thorn. And two things that Paul took pleasure in. One was in his infirmity. Now, most people boast in physical ability. They boast in their strength. A Greek world particularly, they magnified the body. You see the Greek statues. You don't see people like me in a statue unless it's in the Buddhist world. But the Greek world would not be at all impressed when I show up. They were not impressed when Paul showed up either. He said his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. They gloried in the physical and they gloried in the fact that these people could really lay it out. You know, you might feel incapable of doing what God calls you to do. Paul gloried in the very things that the Greek world would have despised and counted to be a great weakness. When you look at all of the things that God has given you, what has He put in your life? What abilities has He given you? Because whatever ability He has given you, He has given you accompanying grace with that ability, and He has given you accompanying faith with that ability, according to Romans chapter 12. And we find that the weakness that you say, God, if you just allowed me to be stronger, God, if you just allowed me not to be fighting this flesh all the time. Those of you battling the flesh all the time, saying, thank you, God, you're showing me that I am 100% dependent on you. Second thing he gloried in was ignominy. One thing was physical. This ignominy was the matter of his reputation. And Paul said there, in fact, when you look at the verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, that's people rejection, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. And they were magnifying the big guns. And they didn't see Paul in that category as being one of the big guns that came out of Jerusalem. And Paul is saying, I really don't have a concern whether you are liking me or not, because Paul says, I'm going to love you anyway. We have to be careful. When you go out in ministry, you are not going to be loved by everybody. Those of you going to a pastor, there's going to be some person in that church whose calling is to keep you humble. That is a very thing that's very hard to deal with. And the tendency is to start looking at that resistance rather than learning from it and boasting in it and glorying in it. We have a tendency to focus on that which would turn us aside. Interesting, like every time you see the word buffet, throughout the scripture, it is directly related to ill treatment from people. The hardest thing you're going to deal with is the fact that you might be resisted by those in whom you've invested. You might be hurt by those who you have given the greatest amount of time and invested the most of your love and direction. And I've observed this. Most changes in people's directions who are in ministry, the changes do not come from a God-led thing, but from a broken relationship, and they're driven a completely different direction. That's a wrong focus as you look at that. Now, here I am. I will become like my focus. If we don't learn to make God our focus, we will find ourselves developing a deep resentment. And here's this person, and you find that you develop a contempt. Then I concentrate on it. Did you know what that idiot said? I can't believe that. Why, that brain dead. And then next thing you know, I become like what I focus on, and lo and behold, I'm controlled by the very person for whom I have contempt. And so what happens is a third person looks and says, hey, you're just like that person. You're just in the opposite direction from that person. Because when you become like your focus, you start reflecting the very characteristics of that person, and you turn your direction because you have a broken relationship with the person with whom you have contempt. And consequently, you become like that person. The other direction is Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus. You look at that structure there, it is away from everyone and everything else, and you look to Him with compassion. You concentrate on Him, you will be conformed to Him, and you will be controlled by Him. And a person looking at you will say, I cannot believe how Christ-like you are. What's the difference? The difference is the focus. My personal survival kit that I have for me. Keep your passion for Christ growing. Keep your eye on your mission and keep your relationships right as much as is humanly possible. Now, what if the Apostle Paul had developed a contempt for those who were buffeting or those who were Satan tools, the thorns? He developed the contempt, and then he concentrated on them. Then he became like them, and then he became controlled by them. And then the others would look and say, but wait a minute. But Paul says that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being then made conformable unto his death. Then broken relationships don't set your ministry direction. Your relationship with your God does. That's why we have you learning the biography of God, because your characteristics need to be God-like characteristics, not because I'm reacting to somebody who has no measurable brainwave. And so you see the difference here. You will become like your focus. I remember when I was in ministry in Roseville years ago, and I had this open resistance, and it would really gnaw at me. I studied 1 Corinthians chapter 13, word for word for word for word. I took that thing apart, and I looked at that, and I thought, what an empty, empty person I am. Because when I looked at the dignity of love, it pulled rank over sacrifice, and it pulled rank over service, and it pulled rank over stepping by faith, and it pulled rank over study and having all of the knowledge in the world. And if I had all of that and did not do what I did in love, it was a zero. And I thought, I'm losing on both ends. And I took those 15 descriptions of love, all verbs, by the way. They're not nouns, they're verbs. All activities of love. And I, when I looked at the mirror and I did my heart check on love in that mirror, I thought, I am going to have that just turn into a puff of smoke at the Bema. All of the work. Because the motivation of how I'll be tested at the Bema is attitude. Did I submit to authority? And did I use my abilities God had given? That's the test that will be fire tested in that time. And I thought to myself, oh God, I have been so empty because I have focused on the very thing that where people have needs, I have let their problems become my problems. You can look at circumstances that way. You develop a contempt. You concentrate on that which is negative, and then you begin to become like that very thing, and you're controlled by a thing that God allowed Satan to put into the life. Not to be like Satan, but to become more like him. So what should we do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Why do we have those morning times when you build your biography of God so you concentrate on Him, so that with Paul's goal, that I might know Him, that I might be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8, 28 and following. Interesting, the greatest chapter on security in the Bible, starts with no condemnation, ends with no separation. Right in the middle of that chapter is suffering. And in the middle of that chapter, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate that we might be conformed to the image of his Son, who is the firstborn among many brethren. What does that mean? He is the first of many who would be just like him. That's us. What did he do? He set the pattern in suffering and sacrifice. And Paul grieved that he was behind in the suffering of Christ. And I pray that you'll say, oh God, forgive me for a focus that is not your focus for me. And we find ourselves then giving in to insults. We find ourselves every conversation, how stupid somebody is and how dumb somebody is. And yet rather than saying, Lord, let me stay passionate for you, let me keep my eye on my mission, and let my relationships be right as much as is humanly possible. Paul says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. There are some people you are not going to get along with, period. But as much as lies in you, may the fault not be at your door. I've tried making relationships right with people, and I discovered this: narcissists don't make relationships right, because narcissists have only servants and image enhancers. They don't have confronters. I've tried to I've done everything that I can do in that matter. Now, what's the goal? And we close with this. The goal is conformity to Christ. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities. And here's a purpose clause here, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. So two things. One, the power of Christ could be revealed through Paul and fully rest on him. And secondly, perfection of strength would be wrought by Paul's submission. And we see this multiplied over and over and over. We see it with Gideon. We see it with David when he was not chosen. We see it with Shamgar. Read the book of Judges. Shamgar and Samson and Ehud, Deborah, Jael, use the nail. Then we find who was chosen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, not many wise, not many mighty. It didn't say not any. It said not many. If we were picking a leadership team, we would instantly think of get the leaders, get the class presidents, get the quarterbacks on the football team. Jesus headed straight for Galilee and picked fishermen to confound the mighty. And however God has given you a gift and whatever God has called you to do, you will find that the power will be revealed. And that power that's made possible through the resurrection, according to Ephesians 1, is now in you. And the perfection of that strength is being made perfect. How? In your weakness. When I was involved in the ACC, the American Christian College group, I spoke, I said, when we talk size, we compare. When we talk sports, we compete. When we talk Great Commission, we cooperate, hopefully, for the big picture. But pride does not want us to take our eyes from size or from competition. But when it comes to Great Commission, we need to be passionately involved in getting the gospel to the world for his glory. And Paul says, I will glory in mine infirmities. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. To me, it's one of the most powerful ministry verses. Paul says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul ends this whole discussion regarding his ignominy. He said, I'm rejected not only by the world, I am rejected by the converts, that were saved under the preaching of the gospel. And Paul says, I know that, and I will very gladly spend. I'll give you my things and be spent. I will give you me. Knowing the more I do that, the less I am going to be loved by you. That to me is a godly man in ministry. To love those who never reciprocate. And you'd better get used to that, because people business is dirty business. You better get used to it. And you will find yourself saying, I will gladly spend. I'll give you me. I'll give you my things. Knowing the more I do that, the less I'm going to be loved by you. But then Paul goes on and he puts the knife in Levi. He says, I caught you in craftiness and with guile. You think you're so right and you think you're so holy? He said, I caught you with the very things you were accusing me of. Did I make gain of you by any of them? He said, no. Paul says, I gave you my things. I worked with my hand. I gave you me. Paul said, I didn't take a penny from you so that I would not be chargeable to any of you. And he said, I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? And then he goes on and says, here's what I fear about you. That when I come, I shall not find you as such as I would, and shall be found debates, envies, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Paul said, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented. So Paul was pouring out his heart to those people. Three key words in Paul's life: grace, there was glory, and there was the goal, in order that the power of Christ may rest on us.
Thank you for joining us today for Building Great Leaders. Dr. Les Olala speaking on the grace of God is sufficient. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.